Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Wow,
here
Z!
At Car Talk Plaza.
So, I don't think we've ever done that before.
No.
Wow! Is that where we are? Now, these are supposedly true statements as taken down by court reporters, and they're from a book called Disorder in the Court. And I believe that these all happen. Here they are.
So you've probably done some of them, right?
Question, what is the date of your birth? Answer, July 15th. Question, what year? Answer, every year. Question, what gear were you in at the moment of the impact? Answer, Gucci sweats and Reeboks. Question, now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it until the next morning? The youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? Question, how was your first marriage terminated? Answer, by death. Question, and by whose death was it? Question, is your appearance here this morning pursuant to a deposition notice which I sent to your attorney? Answer, no, this is how I always dress when I go to work. Here's my very favorite. This one. I mean, this. At some point, you get exasperated. Question. Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? Answer. No. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. So then it is possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. Question, but could the patient still have been alive nevertheless? Answer, yes, it's possible he could have been alive and practicing law somewhere. You can just see the doctor saying, come on. He deserved that.
Well, look, if you think those questions and answers are lame, stick around. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you've got a question about your car, give us a call.
We should try... Maybe we already do this. I was going to say, we should try giving the most ridiculous answer.
We pretty much did that. Number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-278-2555. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name's Ray. I'm from Utah.
Hey, Ray, what's
Ray
happening?
Ray from Utah. Nice name.
It is.
Well, let me tell you, I've got a 94 Chevy Lumina minivan,
uh-huh.
And about the middle of January, it started making this strange noise when I turned the fan on. And whether it's now, of course, we're into air conditioning weather, but either way, it doesn't matter.
Oh, sure. Rub it in. Now we're in air conditioning weather. Sure.
We're still wearing our Bronco Nagurski long underwear, and you guys have your air conditioners on. Okay.
Southern Utah does have its advantages.
See if you get a right answer.
Doug Mayer, our senior web lackey, measured the snow in his at his front lawn the other day. He lives in New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
He's got 4 feet of snow on the ground.
More. 5 feet. 6 feet, he says. 6 feet.
He lies.
Gets a foot deeper every day.
Well, I'm originally from North Dakota, so I can appreciate it.
So you can appreciate
Utah, that's for sure.
Okay, yep, so yep. You turn on the heater or air conditioner.
I turn on the heater or air conditioner, and as long as I have the fan setting on low, it's not a problem. But the minute I turn it up to any speed over low, I get this nasty kind of sound going on. The air is still coming out. It comes out faster, but it's this horrendous noise. And when it first started, it sounded actually like somebody stuck a chicken bone in a fan, and it was just bouncing around.
Yeah, I got a problem with all of this.
Just the noise.
Well, it may have been, in fact, that you had the equivalent of a chicken bone in there at one point,
uh-huh.
And you may have broken off one of the vanes on the fan.
Okay.
The fan is a squirrel cage kind of fan. It's a cylindrical thing.
All right.
And it has a bunch of blades around the circumference of it. And if something bent or broke one of those, then it would throw the thing out of balance, and it would eventually ruin the bearings in the motor. Or even if the thing were in perfect balance, it's possible after 7 years that the motor bearings are just worn out so that
right.
when it turns at high speed, you hear the bearings, what remains
grinding
of them, getting ground up even more. And you get a wobbling, vibrating kind of sound. And it's only a matter of days before this thing comes flying through the hood.
Oh, joy. Okay.
Now, I don't know how easy. Some cars have some cars.
Try
some manufacturers.
Watch your language now.
Make it a nightmare to replace what's called the blower motor, which is what you have to do.
Right.
Some cars make it so easy as to be laughable.
Yeah.
I don't know how difficult the Lumina replacement is.
Okay.
But
it's either 25 minutes or 25 hours.
Oh,
right, and nothing in between.
And there's nothing in between. There is nothing in between.
So what you need to do is find the blower motor, and that's easy enough to find. You just follow the noise.
Right, right.
And then you'll see, hopefully, three screws that attach the housing of that thing to the heater.
Okay.
And if you're lucky, you can take those three screws out,
and
the
whole it'll be looking right at you.
All right.
Will fall out, including all the twigs and whatever else is in
sure,
there.
Sure.
And you'll say, oh, how lucky could one guy be?
Yeah. And this will happen if you have led a good, clean life.
Oh, not a chance.
All right. We'll get that for you.
Okay. Well, get ready to spend 25
hours. Take it to the Chevy dealer. See you, Ray.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Call.
You bet.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
Hey, a nice, easy question.
Oh, yeah. Louis must have gotten last week. Actually, for several weeks now.
Oh!
It's almost as if Louis the Barbarian Cronin has gone out of her way.
Yeah, she has.
To find the most difficult questions imaginable. Either that, or we're getting stupider.
Or both.
Or both.
Yeah.
But so far, so good, Louis. Keep up the good work. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Julie, and I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Julie.
And we have a 1994 Nissan Quest, and we use that for hauling our three kids all over the place and hauling our three dachshunds all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the car has a rather intriguing problem. When we have the heat on, the air coming out the vents is warm only if the car is actually moving. And when we stop for a stoplight or some other bizarre reason that we would stop, I guess we do have to stop sometimes.
You got three kids, you must have to stop all the time. And three dogs, you must be peeing every 15 minutes.
We've got all the troops pretty well trained.
They all go at the same time?
Or we strap them in.
How many of them lift their legs?
Yeah, well, we strap them in real good. So, I mean, that could be a stoplight. It just, like, takes maybe 10 or 15 seconds of sitting there, and the air becomes cold.
Yeah. Have you done anything? Have you looked at anything?
No, we have not.
You haven't?
No.
How long has this been going on?
About 7 years.
You're a patient woman, Julie.
Well, you see, my marital unit is French.
Yeah.
And so I have a feeling that the French people are used to broken car stuff.
7 years?
Yes.
Has it gotten...
Well, that's
must have gotten worse, though, over the last 7 years.
No.
No.
Why are you calling now?
Yeah, where have you been for the last 7 years?
Well, maybe because I'm getting a little older and, getting cold a little easier.
Well, I mean, the fact that it's been 7 years tells us a lot. Because it eliminates a lot of potential answers.
Okay.
For example, it eliminates just about all of them.
Just about all of them, right. I mean, one of the potential answers would have been that the belt that runs the water pump might be loose.
Okay.
Would be a good answer, except that the belt that runs the water pump is the timing belt, I believe. So that doesn't work.
So, and that's unfortunate because that would have been a wonderful answer.
Right. Well, the timing belt obviously has been replaced. We've got 120,000 miles on it.
And somebody obviously replaced the water pump at some point.
Right.
Yeah. So that's out.
Well, it's possible you have a faulty heater control valve. In that, when the engine is running at high speed, there's enough flow to push enough coolant through to give you adequate heat.
Okay.
And then but when you slow down to idle and the pump naturally slows down as the engine slows down, then you don't have enough.
Okay.
So that's something that could have been broken for years.
Right.
Sure.
Now, the other possibility, and we've run into this a lot with Quests, when the coolant is flushed, these are very difficult to bleed.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to get all of the air out of the cooling system. I mean, very difficult. And the way you determine that you have gotten it out is that you have heat.
Right.
Because if you don't get it all out, you got no heat.
Mm-hmm. But that would mean that at some point, someone actually drained out the coolant.
We know that. We know it's been done at least once when they did the water pump.
Okay.
And it's possible that, whoever has done the work has just never purged the system completely of air.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And you've got a little
wait a minute
of air.
The symptom precedes the replacement of the water pump.
I know that.
Right. Then why were you trying to bamboozle her?
I wasn't. No. It could be that the system was drained and flushed before the water pump was done. And they didn't. And those guys did it wrong.
Right.
It may have, in fact, been the same guys.
So you didn't. You don't have this since it was new, do you?
Yeah. We bought it right off the
So you would know if the cooler...
All right, if that's the case, then if you bought it new and you had the problem right off the bat, one, either you're a sissy and you can't take it, or two, from day one, you've had a faulty heater control valve. Your husband is obviously tough and stoic.
Right.
He doesn't say a word.
Right.
Probably doesn't speak English.
Right. But you go around whining about this stupid little problem you have. You must be under 40.
Just barely.
Yeah, see, we could tell.
Well, you'll be smarter and wiser and less likely to complain when you reach 40 and more likely to carry a firearm.
So what are we going to suggest here?
I'm going to suggest you have the heater control valve looked at because I think that's the most likely culprit.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I have to go along with them.
But the other possibility, although it seems so remote, is that your thermostat is faulty, and that could have been the case forever.
Yeah.
That it's opening up too soon
and
not letting the coolant get hot enough.
Okay.
Tell whoever looks at it to check, obviously, the thermostat. That's easy to do.
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't pan out, check the heater control valve because I think it's not opening up all the way.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, bye-bye. Julie.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
7 years.
7 years. Well, isn't that great? Isn't that great that she could live with this for 7 years? And this morning, wake up and say,
"That's it! I can't take it anymore.
Take it anymore."
Oh God! 1-888.
That's what my wife is going to say someday.
Yeah, she gets a good look at you. Just don't let her put her glasses on first thing in the morning. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Eric from DC.
Eric from DC, what's happening?
I have a Miata, a '91 Miata.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and It's having some problems. I noticed it first a couple of weeks back. I was going on a highway pretty quick, and sometimes I put it in neutral or hit the clutch, and I just sort of glide along, and I noticed it wouldn't glide so quickly. I then drove it up to New York, and I noticed my gas mileage was way off. Like, I normally use a half a tank each way, and now it's like a three-quarter tank trip each way.
Oh. Doug Berman, our producer,
yeah,
used to own one of these.
It's a great car.
Until his wife made him sell it. But he used to own one, and we're going to rely on him for the answer because he knows. What is it, Dougie? Oh, he thinks you put on a lot of weight lately. No, huh? Okay. go ahead, Eric.
Is there more to the story, or is that it?
No, there is. I then parked it in D.C. when I got back, and I park on a decline on a hill. And I went away for a week, and then I used it a week later, and I normally, like, coast down the hill and let the engine warm up, except when I tried to coast, when I pulled out from the curb, the car just stopped.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excellent. I mean, everything you said.
We know this one.
Fits.
All right. Yeah. There's a little bit more.
Go ahead.
I drove it around the block recently, and it goes, but it's a lot of resistance, almost like the emergency brake is on.
Oof.
I smelled the burning, though, when I finally stopped it. And then I even, like, bent down and sniffed each wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know
and,
what?
The front wheels smell.
We haven't got a clue.
No.
Yeah. No, you've almost diagnosed it yourself.
Okay.
And if the smell had been coming from the rear wheels, it would have been a stuck handbrake.
Okay.
But if the smell is coming from the front wheels, it's a stuck caliper.
And the smell was coming from just one wheel?
No, I think it was both of the front wheels when I smelled them.
Well, I think you just have a stuck caliper.
I think you do, too.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask, I would love to do the work myself, like buy a Chilton manual and figure out how to fix my own car. I'm so embarrassed that I can't. Is this something that I can take on? Or?
Yes.
You can, but you haven't worked on your car before.
No, I haven't.
I think brakes are a bad place to start. You may want to start with, like, fuzzy dice replacement.
Or oil changes.
No, brakes are a good place to start.
No, brakes.
You know right away.
You'll know right away if you have a flair for
it. Career here. And if you don't, it's all over.
All right.
Yeah.
What about driving it? I know there's a garage in Georgetown, which is probably going to be pricey, but it's only a mile or two away. Can I drive it there, or is that going to screw things up more?
You'll make it that mile.
Yeah, okay. You'll make it that mile. Yeah. And you may have done damage.
And you may have to open the door and push with your left leg to help it. So wear a sneaker, you know.
But luckily, the car is light.
Okay.
But you're going to need, I'm going to tell you what it's going to cost you.
Excellent.
It's going to cost you $971.53.
Will it cost that much?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because you're going to need two calipers and two rotors and pads.
Okay.
Right, and then there's the obvious gratuities and taxes.
Taxes, gratuities, and all that stuff. Right. And that's what it's
going to be. And now at least I won't, I'll know I'm not getting ripped off.
Well, if it's less than that, you're getting a deal. See, Eric.
Hey, good luck.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Okay, Tommy, look, before we answer last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break. And by the way, I hate to ask, but do you remember the puzzler from last week?
I do not. Perhaps you could do something to spark my memory.
I think I need a taser to spark that memory. But the puzzle was about a college kid with a summer job driving a van and how he got himself into a little bit of trouble.
Oh, I like trouble.
I know you do. We'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned. State lines and roadside dives for 2 weeks now. You think I might have known better than heading out in this weather again. State lines and roadside. And even though Carl Castle wonders if they're still looking for bouncers at the Key West Applebee's whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Oh, goody.
Now, the kernel of this puzzler was sent in by a fellow named Ken Dales with a little editing by, what, yours truly.
Oh, that would be you. Will he even recognize it?
Unlikely. Anyway, it goes something like this. Back when I was in college, I had a great part-time job driving a delivery van. You know, like a Dodge Ram van or something to that effect.
I remember this.
And I don't even know what I delivered. I never ask. Hey, none of my business, right?
Yeah, of course.
But the money was good and the hours were good. And occasionally, I even got to use the van on weekends, which helped me start my very successful midnight moving business. Now, with all that money that I made, I was able to take the week off during spring break and go on vacation with a bunch of my classmates. I don't know where we went. I think it was Mexico. And when I got back from vacation, I found myself what?
Married to someone named Juanita. How's that?
That too. No. I found myself flat broke.
Oh.
So naturally, I was eager to get back to work. Well, the first day back behind the wheel, I hadn't driven the van in a while, you know. I noticed a rumbling noise coming from the rear. I wasn't too concerned, but I figured I'd mention it to the boss. Hmm. Well, he wasn't too concerned either, so I forgot about it. And then one day, about 2 weeks later, I was making a delivery about as far out of town as I had ever been when I noticed that the rumbling seemed to be getting much worse. And as I was driving down a slight incline, I heard a loud bang like a gunshot. Now, I always knew that this guy was involved in some shady stuff, but I never expected to be shot at. Anyway, right after the loud bang, the engine began to race, and for a few seconds, it sounded like something was dragging on the road. As quickly as I could, I pulled over, shifted into park, turned off the engine, and got out of the van to see what was going on back there.
Yeah?
Well, within about 1 second, I realized I had just done something terribly wrong. I had made a terrible mistake. What did I do that was so wrong, and what had actually happened?
Ooh, excellent. I love
well,
it.
Yeah, a little intrigue there, right?
I think I know the answer already.
I'm sure you do. Well, here's what happened. The drive shaft had broken. More precisely, a U-joint broke. That was the gunshot.
Yeah.
And now the transmission was no longer connected to the wheels, right? Because the drive
That's
shaft
right.
broke and separated. The drive shaft was dragging on the ground, and that explains the engine racing. No
mm-hmm.
load. And, of course, the dragging sound. So the drive shaft is dragging on the ground before it finally fell out, and then mm-hmm. the noise stopped. So what did I do that was so wrong? I put the transmission in park and then got out of the van to look. Well,
yeah.
with no drive shaft, park doesn't lock the wheels. And
no.
the van started to roll down the hill.
You bet.
Because park is in the transmission. And if the transmission is disconnected from the wheels, now the back wheels are like the front wheels. They're free to go any place they want.
Yeah.
I did manage to run alongside before the van accelerated beyond my ability to keep up. And I did manage to open the driver's door and push on the brake pedal with one hand.
You did.
Of course, with the engine off, I didn't have any power brakes, right? And with the other hand, I was able to steer the runaway van into a row of privet hedges. And that stopped it. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So do we have a winner?
Yes, we have a winner. The winner this week is Cindy Cartwright from Wellston, Oklahoma. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Cindy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. With which she can have her choice of useless Car Talk products.
Now, I want to point out that while they are indeed useless, they are not inexpensive.
Right. We run a high-class operation here, Cindy.
Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned for that. But right now, if you've got a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Mark. I'm calling from Groton, Connecticut.
Hi, Mark.
Groton.
What's happening?
Well, I'm calling for my fiance. She drives a 1992 Geo Tracker, and it was running rough this fall. So I did a little tune-up on it. I replaced all the spark plugs, and that helped it run a lot better. But then around January, she was warming it up in the driveway, and one of the spark plugs just shot right out of the cylinder head.
Mark. Marky Mark.
So we put it back in, and then in February, about a month later, it happened again, all right?
Not the same one, a different one.
No, the same one, the number one cylinder in the front.
Same one.
Yep. And
that
you know,
pesky little number one cylinder.
Yeah. So, I looked at it. I can't really see the head, the threads very well, but the spark plug isn't damaged at all. You know, the threads are fine.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, pretty much the last, since then, I've just been tightening it, you know, every week.
Periodically.
So. Yeah, you know, checking it. But actually, it hasn't been loose again. But I'm just wondering what's going on, because I don't want this to happen to her, you know, out on the road or, you know, at a time when it would be inconvenient,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. They get nasty when that happens.
Yeah.
Well, does she know what to do if it does blow out again?
Well, yeah, I guess you would
call Mark. She knows what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yell at Mark.
Yeah.
Here's what you do.
All right.
Go to Sears Roebuck.
Okay.
Sears, as they call it, right?
Yeah, I think it's just Sears
and
now.
And go to the automotive tools department.
Okay.
And buy yourself a torque wrench.
Yeah. Well, my father has a torque wrench. I
can. He's got one. You can borrow it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, you can do what we used to do to our dad. Just never return it.
Never return it.
So I got all my tools.
Yeah, they never miss the stuff, you know?
And then what you can do is look up the torque spec, which is probably about 40 foot-pounds.
Okay.
And you can torque the thing. But is the view of this thing obstructed by something like the alternator or a hose that you can't see that number one hole as clearly as the other three?
No, actually, the one is probably the easiest to reach.
Oh.
You know? And
so he didn't cross-thread it.
Yeah, no. I mean, what I do is I put the plug in the wrench fitting there.
Right.
And, I kind of jiggle it and I hand-tighten it as tight as I can get it.
That's it.
And then you put the ratchet handle on.
Right.
And how much more do you tighten it?
another eighth to a quarter turn.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not.
You're not tightening them enough, and it's only it's lucky for you that you haven't blown out the other ones.
Has any of them shot through the hood yet? That's the sign of a real master.
No, this car is her baby, so.
Oh, yeah. No, and heretofore, she had never had a problem with this.
Well,
with these plugs blowing out. Till you got a hold of it, right?
I think they were fused to the cylinder head before
I got home. I think you were just being too cautious.
Okay.
So here's what you do. You put them in and you torque them all to 40 pounds. In fact, I would recommend that you torque one of the ones that hasn't blown out to see how loose it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you can put your regular ratchet handle on there, and you can turn that thing until the ratchet handle starts to move.
Uh-huh.
And that'll give you some idea how much you have to push on that thing to duplicate 40 foot-pounds.
Right.
Yeah, but do it soon before the other ones blow out.
See you.
And they will blow out.
Right.
See you, Mark.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's exciting.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julia from Austin, Texas.
Julia, how are you?
Julia.
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Good. You sound like you're a student.
That's a very good guess. I'm actually an undergraduate at the University of Texas at Austin.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I'm about to graduate in a couple of months. So.
In what?
Well, I'm actually going to be getting 2 degrees, one in liberal arts and one in microbiology.
And how do you plan to integrate these two fields of endeavor?
Says who?
Well, I'm going to med school, and when I graduate, I'd like to go into public health research.
And have you gotten into medical school already?
Yes, I'm actually going to be going to Southwestern this fall.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Very good. Very
I've had
good.
This now, pain you... in my back.
No, I've had the pain, and it's from you.
Hey, you know, I'm asking you questions. If you ever need any medical questions in the future, give me a call.
Oh, yeah. By all means.
I just thought of a great show idea. If a chiropractor was doing a show, it could be called Back Talk.
Hey.
You get it?
Yeah.
You get it?
It's
a million-dollar idea. Another million-dollar idea down the tubes.
You should patent that one, definitely.
Yeah. I hope nobody heard it because somebody might steal the idea.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Julia, we've killed 2 minutes of your allotted three. So,
what's up?
Okay.
What can we do?
My parents just bought me a 2001 Nissan Sentra.
How nice of them.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have it. But the thing is that this is my first car. I realize that owning a car is just a huge, huge responsibility, and I know nothing about cars. So I was hoping that you could tell me the absolutely essential things I need to know about owning and maintaining a car.
Well, you got to walk it at least twice a day. Yeah. It's not owning a car is not as bad as owning a dog.
Okay.
By the way, my brother has discovered with his dog a violation of the laws of industrial stoichiometry.
My dog,
not to change the subject.
My dog puts out more than he takes in.
Okay.
I mean, can this be possible?
Biologically, I don't think so. No.
I've measured it, and unfortunately, I have really measured it, and she's putting out more than she takes in. I don't know how she can do this. Unless she's trying to tick me off.
Oh, well, that's it.
Anyway, getting back to your center,
where
I'm sorry. And you've squandered another minute of your life. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say that if I were going to boil it down,
mm-hmm.
check the oil once in a while.
Okay.
And look at the tires and make sure they're not flat.
Okay.
Otherwise, you can...
And the way you make sure they're not flat is you actually buy a tire pressure gauge.
Too hard.
Okay.
No. Well, first of all, you should take the car into somebody every 3 months or so.
Okay.
Just to, you know, change the oil, for example. And while it's there, they're going to look around at things. And of course, for the first several years, they're not going to find anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you need to get a little more diligent about it. But you'll have forgotten that. So you need to call us back when you're halfway through medical school.
Okay.
And we'll tell you what to do from that point on. But you really, if you follow the maintenance schedule in the book,
uh-huh.
you really can't go too wrong.
Okay.
But more than that, you do need to check your tires, and you do need to familiarize yourself with what's under the hood so you'll know how to check the oil, and you'll know how to check if there's enough coolant in it and all that.
Okay.
Do you have someone who can show you the ropes?
Well, my parents live hours away, so unfortunately they're not here.
Oh, but you're going to be going home for some holiday.
Yeah.
Bring your laundry or something, and you'll just you'll get the rundown.
Yeah. They'll show me how to actually open the hood of my car, hopefully, yeah.
Well, congratulations on getting into medical school.
Okay, thank you.
And study hard.
Okay, yeah.
And don't forget us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
God knows, and if you ever use the back talk idea, cut me in.
I'll let you know. Okay.
See you, Julia.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK.
We gave her some great advice, didn't we? What? We're useless, you know? I'm beginning to realize we're useless. I don't know what we're here for. What she asked a perfectly legitimate question.
We're here to steer the ship.
We're here to steer the ship. I like it. I don't get it, but I like it.
No. We directed her to her father.
He's going to tell her.
Exactly. He's going to have that. He's going to put his arm around her shoulder and say, Julia, it's time you learned about cars.
Yeah.
So that's all we have to do. We
facts
have to
of life.
Direct
so to speak.
People to the answers. You can't give that's the answers
it?
All the time. Yeah. And I realize there's a great risk in giving answers.
You could be wrong.
Oh, God. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Ship Talk.
Hi, this is Sean from Seattle.
Hi, Sean.
Sean, how are we going to spell that one?
S-H-A-W-N.
Oh, all right. I had already misspelled it.
Really?
Everyone does.
Yeah. But anyway, Seattle.
Yeah.
Got it.
What's up?
So I've got a Volkswagen Scirocco, 1988. And whenever I drive over 45 miles an hour, the dashboard screams at me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like a big...
Yeah.
And I can't hear the radio. I can't talk over it. And it's really distracting. And I can't go on the highway.
Open the hood.
Uh-huh.
You with the car now?
No.
You have the car with you at all times. If you open the hood, I believe you will see a speedometer cable, which is about, maybe 3/8 of an inch in diameter and black.
Okay.
This cable is pointing right at where the speedometer would be.
Okay.
Inside the car.
Okay. If you follow that cable and you'll come across another piece of plastic, which you may have to move out of the way, I think you'll come to a little black box.
Okay.
Unscrew the cable from that box. The noise will be gone.
But will my speedometer work?
And your speedometer will be gone, too.
Okay.
But you'll have ascertained.
Yeah.
But I think it's more the odometer than the speedometer.
Well, you can't have one without the other.
You can't have one without the other.
So when you disconnect the cable, you are going to determine that that's where the noise is coming from. Now, you can, if I'm not mistaken, this car may have a long cable and then a little short cable.
Okay.
And it could be either one of them that's making the noise. And I'm going to guess it's the short cable.
Okay.
And you can go to your Volkswagen dealer and you can buy one and put it in.
Okay. There's no way of just making the noise stop and keep the speedometer. I'll have to do all this stuff.
That's correct.
Yeah, but at least in the meantime, you won't have to listen to the noise anymore, and you won't be incurring high mileage numbers on your odometer.
Well, my odometer is broken anyway.
The odometer is already...
It hasn't worked since I've owned the car.
Oh, but the speedometer works.
Yes, the speedometer has always worked.
There you go. You can have one without the other.
By the way, it's illegal to drive around without a speedometer.
I don't care. They arrest Sean in Seattle. What's it to us?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Go for it.
Power to the people.
Just leave us alone. Leave us out of the story.
I was once pulled over by a very nice state police woman.
Yeah?
For speeding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And?
Well, it was a trumped-up charge, of course. But I informed her, as everyone does.
That your speedometer didn't work.
No, it worked, but I couldn't possibly have been going 78 miles an hour. My speedometer said I was doing 55. And she said, well, I'm writing up for 78 and for faulty equipment. Whoops.
Good for her.
Yeah, so if you do get stopped for speeding, I don't think I'd use the excuse that your speedometer doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah. See you, Sean.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, look, I think it's time for us to take a little break.
No. Don't take a break. I mean, I was just getting going here. I mean, I was on a roll. I mean, I was in the zone. I was feeling my oats. I mean, I was in the groove.
I was at the top of my game, Jerry. I was just starting to feel like my old self again. Exactly. That's why we need to take a break and snap you out of it, man. Jeez.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
Rolling down the interstate, I need to go, I can't wait. Get behind the wheel when I see it, then I feel I got to drive. Oh yeah, I got to drive. Now it don't matter where, hey, I don't care, I got to drive.
And even though all the creamers in the NPR fridge simultaneously curdle whenever we say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Okay.
This was sent in by Frank Jaskolka. Where's he from? We don't know,
is
really.
Is he proud of it?
Is he proud of the Puzzler?
Yeah.
Well, he writes, I recently received this question on a job interview for a software engineering position.
Mm-hmm.
I finally figured it out, but it took me more steps. I didn't get the job. Maybe this puzzle will have some other poor unemployed software engineer get a job with the sick and twisted manager that gave me the test. And here it is.
He was supposed to get it during the interview. The guy says, oh, by the way, what's the answer to this?
And exactly.
He's expected to just work it out.
Work it out. You got 5 minutes. I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee. If you have the answer in five minutes, you got the job. If you don't.
Yeah.
Then we're going to throw you out in the street with the other applicants.
And here's a hint, work it out with logs.
A lot of pressure here.
Yeah, okay, give it to me. I'll try for 5 minutes.
You have a 4-ounce glass.
Oh, one of those.
And a 9-ounce glass.
And you're going to make 45 ounces out of it, and you're going to drink half of it.
And you have an endless supply of water. Okay, mm-hmm. So you have a tap from which you can draw water.
Yeah.
You can fill or dump either glass. You can dump one, fill the other. You can dump one into the other. You can dump them together. You can throw them over your shoulder. You can pour them in your shoes. Whatever you want.
Do you have a plastic bag in your pocket? No. Okay. Yeah.
Is it possible to measure out exactly 6 ounces of water? Well, we know it's possible because Frank did it.
Yeah.
But it took him too many steps.
Took him too many steps.
So the question is, how many steps does it take?
Got it.
I mean, why would you want 6 ounces of water? But that's what you want. So if you think you know the
answer. Doesn't matter. Your boss wanted it.
Your boss wanted it.
And that's it.
And these are the kinds of problems that software engineers are called upon to solve every day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't do this, then you're out in your keister, so to speak.
Yeah.
If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on a Meade LX200 Schmidt-Cassegrain reflector telescope with computerized drive and an equatorial wedge. And mail it to Puzzler Tower.
You don't have enough of those yet.
Oh, 10 inch.
Did I mention that?
Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Oh, Our Fair City.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us right now or any time in the past, present, or future. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Dina, and I am from Lakeland, Florida.
D-I-N-A?
E-E-N-A.
I thought so.
Oh, I wrote E-E from Lakeland, Florida?
Yes.
And is Lakeland in the Lakeland? That's Minnesota, isn't it? Wisconsin, one of the lakes?
There are a lot of lakes here, but it's around Orlando and Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Ah, yes.
Anyway, Dina, what's on your mind today?
Okay, well, I have a 93 Buick Century, and I took it to the shop because it was making a horrible noise, and they tell me that my air compressor is shot, and what I need is a new air compressor, which is going to be about $500, and obviously I don't want to spend $500, so what I was wondering is, as far as I know, the air compressor is just for making the air conditioning work, and I'm fine without having an air conditioner, even though
you are. You may be now.
I'm going to college here in Florida, but I live in Ohio.
Oh, so you'll be leaving Florida when the real hot weather comes.
Oh, yeah.
So
perfect.
So the only other thing is I need to know if there's a way I can, and the only other reason you would need an air compressor is because the serpentine belt goes around that. So I need to take the air compressor off and then reroute the serpentine belt, but I don't understand if that's possible or not.
Well, it's not always possible on every car. I mean, that's one of the things I hate about these serpentine belts. I should explain what they are. Back in the old days, you had a fan belt, and then you had another belt for the power steering, and another belt for the air conditioner, another belt for the alternator. Sometimes one belt would run two things, but more often than not, you'd have one belt dedicated to running each accessory. Then they came up with this great idea, because it saves space, of having one belt run everything. So all these pulleys could now be in the same plane, which would allow them to put a bigger engine under the hood. The only problem is that when one thing breaks,
you can't get it out of the circuit.
Now what you have to do is go to someone who can either find you a belt that will allow you to bypass the air conditioner pulley, or you will have to take out the compressor and put in an idler pulley.
But they do have something like that to replace the air compressor?
Yeah, somebody will have something. Don't forget, they did make this car without air conditioning. You're never going to find one in Florida, but you may find one in Ohio.
Yeah.
And you may be able to, in fact, get the pieces you need.
And it might be that the belt that fits on the one without air conditioning will fit this if you take the air conditioning out of the loop.
Okay.
That would be real good.
What you need to do is go to a parts store and ask them if they have the belt for the same car but without AC.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask them if they have a picture of the belt routing diagram.
Okay.
Then you can just put this belt on.
And for $100, you'll be off and running.
It must be better than $500 or $900.
Good luck. How many more semesters do you have?
One more semester after this one.
What are you studying?
Church ministries with a concentration in communication.
So you're going to be a preacher?
Preacher man.
I don't know. We'll see.
Going to be a preacher man.
Preacher woman, maybe.
Something like that.
Well, we'll be looking for you on TV, Dina.
Say a prayer for us, Dina.
All right, I will.
See you. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
God knows we need it.
Oh, God, we need luck and prayers. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matthew from Philadelphia.
Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Not bad.
You call yourself Matthew and not Matt.
Well, everybody calls me Matt, and I don't mind it. But if I say Matt, you think I say Max because I mumble.
Okay. That's why when people ask me my name, if I say Tom, everyone says, well, nice to meet you, Paul. And so I've changed my name anyway to Dante, so there's no
Well, I told you, I changed my name recently, too.
What
changed
was it
my
again?
Erasmo.
Erasmo.
Well, I wanted something less ethnic sounding. Anyway, Matthew, what can we do for you?
I have a 95 4Runner that I just got last summer, and it's a stick shift. But I'm having some trouble shifting now. What's happening is once in a while, and it's gotten even less often, but for a while there, it was intermittent. What would happen is I drove it to a friend's to visit, stopped at the grocery store on the way home in a parking lot, so I didn't have to back up. But then when I got home to parallel park, I couldn't put it in reverse. All it did was grind. And trying to get it back into first, I really had to push really hard. And what happens, though, is I parked it, and a few days later, I started it up, and it was fine.
Was it colder that day?
Well, it was cold, say, in the 30s most of the time that this has been happening. And it hasn't happened last night, for example. It was a bit warmer. It didn't happen.
When it happens, does the clutch pedal feel any different?
The clutch doesn't. And when I turn off the engine, I can go through all the gears just fine.
Oh, right.
The engine off.
Yeah, no, we know that because the problem is in the clutch. We're just trying to ascertain which piece.
Yeah. And from the answers that you gave us, we know exactly what's wrong.
Wow.
We know exactly how to fix it. And for $1.50, we'll tell you.
Each. Well, I'm not so sure I know exactly what's wrong.
I don't either. I was hoping it was you that knew. It's either the slave or the master cylinder.
Or something else.
Or something else. You could be lucky enough to just find out that you're low on fluid.
But because of the inconsistency of it,
right.
I'm going to guess that the clutch itself is broken.
Mm.
And there are around the circumference of the driven disc are little springs called anti-chatter springs. And it's not unusual for one of those to break and escape its little mooring. And then that broken
spring. Why are you bringing this up?
Well, I'm sorry, Matthew.
Matthew is a nice guy. He doesn't deserve this.
He sounds like he can
take
it.
I was going for the leak, if you should pardon the expression. See, all of the other things that we've talked about are relatively compared to this, easy to fix because they're all outside the clutch.
Yeah, but you can fix those, but it's not going to help the truck any. You need to have the transmission yanked.
Oh, boy.
And when they take it out, they're going to find a piece of one of these springs that's periodically getting caught between the flywheel and or the pressure plate and the driven disc. And that's what renders the thing unshiftable.
You're in a bad mood today.
Oh, yeah, boy. If you don't like it, tough, man.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Man, thank you very much for ruining my
day.
Boy,
we made his day, huh?
Thanks for calling, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Max.
Thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ruth with an R.
Hi, Ruth.
Williamsburg, Virginia. Hi.
Williamsburg. How are you?
I have the perfect Car Talk problem.
Yeah.
This is a domestic dispute involving a 1970 Dodge Dart.
Oh, man.
How is that? I mean, is that good or what?
That is good.
I will defer to my brother in all matters Dartra because, and all matters vis-a-vis disputes.
No, I mean, I've already shown that I don't know how to handle domestic disputes because how many wives can a guy have?
Okay. The Dart just got a heart transplant. Along with its new engine came a 500-mile, please bring it back so we can complete the warranty info.
Yeah.
We gave the car to my 16-year-old son, and then we made a big mistake. 200 miles into the new miles, my husband and I went away for a week. And when we came back, it no longer had 200 miles on it. It had
2,000.
How did you know?
Yeah.
So now with the deer in the headlight look, okay, my 16-year-old says, who's been driving my car? You know? And so my husband says, look, there's no way. The speedometer only misreads by having less miles, not more. My son says, there's no way unless somebody was sneaking out here and driving the car at night out of state. So I'm caught in the middle, and I'm saying, well, there's only one person who can answer this, and that's y'all.
So it's pretty clear in your mind that someone has driven this thing 2,000 miles. So you have to decide if it was your son, if it was aliens,
right?
School chums.
Who else has a key to the car, he says, you know. Oh, come on. Who's going to get into this Dodge Dart and drive it around Williamsburg?
Are you kidding me? So, that's the most coveted car there is.
To some. Now, he wants to paint it black and put red flames on the side. And I said, come on, honey, this is a Dart. You know, this is not a Firebird.
Okay, so you can say that there is no possible way that someone has misread the odometer.
I went out and I looked. He came in and he said, you know, you're not going to believe this. And I thought, oh, this is very bad.
First of all, it's almost impossible for the odometer to be off by a factor of 10. You know, but you can easily verify this. I mean, you can drive the car someplace, that, you know, a known distance and see if the thing really reads the correct mileage. It's possible that it's off. And it could be. I've seen odometers off by factors of 10.
You have.
Yeah, before you take the son to the woodshed, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to absolutely determine that it really does read 2,000 miles more than you think it ought to read.
Okay, and so I should drive it more than 1 mile. I should drive it 20.
You should drive it 20.
100.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Or maybe 200.
Yeah.
You know, there's a girlfriend involved here, so.
Is girlfriend hyphenated? Girlfriend, one word.
Not in this case. No, it's very close.
The girlfriend had.
Well, but where is this girlfriend? 2,000 miles away?
No, 5 minutes.
Difference.
You know,
5 minutes away.
They
went joyriding.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Jeez, I find it awfully hard to not believe the kid.
You're too old and naive, you old fool. You're just an old fool, man. And where did you go, pray tell?
I went with my husband to Charleston, South Carolina.
Just having a good time, living it up like Wayne Newton.
Jerry, when I was in high school, my good friend Paul Farrier had the good fortune of seeing his parents off. They were going to return to the place of their birth, which was Portugal.
Oh, my.
So they hadn't taken a vacation in like 105 years.
Right.
So they drive themselves to the airport, which at that time was a pretty tame place to go, Logan's Field. There were like 12 parking spots.
Yeah.
And they leave the car there, and off they go to Portugal. Paul, thinking quickly, uses his duplicate key and figures he can drive the car. I probably shouldn't tell this story. He can drive the car for a whole week.
Right.
Sure. And how will they know?
And then even if he gets there a day early, eventually that very same parking space or the one next to it will show up, and they won't remember because what? they're old.
Right.
Yeah. Right, they're old. And as long as he's within a few spots. So he's got it all worked out. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We're going to take a trip to Canada. The first day, he drives the car into a tree. And there was no way he could lie his way out of that one. He was standing in the very spot where their car was parked as they emerged from the terminal with their bags. And not one of his friends was there to support him.
Of course not.
Right.
You're not going to believe this, folks, but someone stole your car and drove it into a tree. But I found it.
Right.
So, I mean, I would be very suspicious of your son, but before you take him to task on this, I would certainly verify that the mileage is, is correct.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I think you're going to find out it is.
I don't understand. I mean, how could he possibly think that you wouldn't notice 2,000 miles?
Because you wouldn't notice.
I'm sticking with it. I believe your son. If he says he didn't drive it, I say he didn't drive it. And we got to find another answer.
And I say he's a lying sleazeball.
Well, I'll let you know if it was the alien factor or the girlfriend factor.
Let us
factor,
know.
Okay?
We can't wait. See you, Ruth.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, boy, it's happened
that's
again.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's so tough. It's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug, the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the San Jose Hot Beignet, Peach Parfait, Cheese Soufflé, Beef Satay, Duck Pate, Shrimp Satay, Sole Mornay, Chilled Parquet, Creme Brulee, Vin Rosé, By the Bay, Beach Buffet, it's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our show reviewer is Seamus O'Dull. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our motivational speaker is Boris Oxoff. Our class attendance monitor is Julie Verley. Tom's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the semiotics majors selling smoothies in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
More importantly, remember this.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1014, stumble through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a way to get your car question answered.
Yeah, if you didn't get through to us on the air this week, you can always post your question on our discussion boards. They're patrolled by some, pretty talented listeners who have a pretty good batting average in figuring out car problems.
What do you consider a pretty good batting average?
Track down and beaten up for misinformation no more than twice a week.
Setting the bar high, aren't we? That's our automotive discussion boards. Post your questions anytime at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though applications for offshore oil rig positions increase whenever we say it, this is NPR.